In order to prepare us for the sermon this morning, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And when they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them, and when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men.
I don't know, in looking out amongst you, it doesn't appear to me that you got an extra hour of sleep last night. I don't know how all that works. You feel more energized, like suddenly there was an extra hour in your night? I don't know. Well, happy November. Here we go. Holidays are upon us. Before you know it, we're going to be through Thanksgiving, into December, through Christmas, and then happy 2020. Time goes that quickly. We need to remember that God is the master of time. And He gives us the time that we need to do the things that He wants us to do. But how we use that time is entirely up to us. And we kind of see that in the passage this morning that we've read. It's another one of those red letter questions that I like for us to examine from time to time. And again, we call it a red letter question because if you have a red letter Bible, the words of Jesus, in particular the questions of Jesus, are in red. So far that we've learned that when Jesus asks a question, it's usually far deeper than it seems on the surface. When he asks a question like, "What is your name?" or "How can I help you?" what he's looking for is something deeper than what we see on the surface. And the passage we're going to be looking at, the red letter question we're going to be looking at this morning, has much more to do with simply bread. It has to do with our lives. This miracle story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is found in all four Gospels. Each writer addressed it just a little bit differently, but the point is the same. And to set the context for our study this morning, Matthew tells Jesus, Matthew tells us that Jesus had just found out that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded by King Herod. And you can imagine the grief that was going through him at that time. And so he took his disciples and he took them away to a deserted place to rest, and I'm sure to grieve, and probably to pray as well. But the crowds would have none of that. They wanted to follow him, to get from him whatever they possibly could, to listen to this great preacher. And so despite his own personal suffering, he continues to teach. In fact, let's look again at Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 35. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" And then Jesus asked the question, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so that's the answer they brought back to Jesus. "We have found there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not enough. That's not nearly enough to feed this many people. But the answer that they gave Jesus was not the answer they wanted to hear. I don't think Jesus was actually looking for a number, but I think he was looking for faith. "Lord, we have enough. We have enough, not because of what we collected, but we have enough to feed these people because of you." With Jesus, it's always enough. You see, it's so easy sometimes when we're faced with something that seems insurmountable, we just kind of set it aside. And that's what the disciples wanted to do. They wanted to simply send the crowds away. But Jesus said, "No, you give them something to eat." It wasn't enough. But Jesus was looking for that expression of faith. But you know, it's really easy to blame the disciples for their doubt, because we do the same kind of thing. You see, it's the theology of scarcity. When we're faced with something in our lives, and it doesn't have to be something negative, it can be something positive. It can be something that we feel that God is instructing us to do, or maybe something in the congregation as a whole. The elders have decided we're going to go in this direction. We're going to go to the bridge house, or we're going to do the clothing giveaway, or we're going to do this, or going to do that. The theology of scarcity says no matter how much or how little I have, it's never going to be enough to do what the Lord has asked me to do. That's what the disciples were operating under. Theology of scarcity, and we do the same thing. But what Jesus wanted from them was to exercise the theology of abundance. The theology of abundance. "With you, Lord, it will always be enough." And when we do this, when we operate our lives knowing that with God it's always enough, He will always give us enough to do what He's asked us to do, then our life is going to be guided by our faith and our generosity to serve and help other people. And it becomes a natural reaction because it releases us from dependence on ourselves. One of the biggest challenges that we have as a child of God is to be dependent on ourselves for everything. And when we do that, we're limited by what we're able to do. And the difficulty is, the older we get, it seems that the more difficult things become. We can't do what we used to do. And that may be true in a physical sense, but that's not true in a spiritual sense. All you have to do is visit Miss Carol in the CCC, and you see someone, even at her age, that is continuing to minister to those around her. continuing to show everyone that Jesus is first and foremost in her life. And you see that as soon as you walk in her room, because she had that kind of wording put right on her wall that you see as you walk in. She said, I put it there because I want people to know when they first come in my room who I belong to. She's not dependent on herself. She's totally dependent on God to help her minister in the way in which He wants her to minister. How many loaves do you have? In your life, what do you have to offer to God to help fulfill the purpose for which you were created? And are you using that? Are you using that to His glory? Are you operating under the theology of scarcity where I just don't have enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I just can't do this? For with You, Lord, it's always enough. You always give me enough. We see throughout the Bible many instances of those that God has asked to do something and they're just saying, I can't do it. Or we see that they have enough, but we, in looking at the situation, we think that's not possible. We forget that with man it may be impossible, with God all things are possible. We look at Noah. He was just one man. He didn't have enough time or enough power to save God's creation, but yet God used him. God used him. Abraham and Sarah. They were too old. They had limitations. They couldn't possibly do what God had asked them to do, what God had promised them would happen. But yet He did. They didn't have enough youth or good health or even patience to give birth to a nation set apart by God, but yet through God all things are possible. And we know Moses had a speech impediment. He was not a great orator. He had a difficulty sometimes speaking, but yet God used him to lead His nation out of Egypt. Gideon lacked courage. Remember Gideon? He lacked the courage to lead Israel with victory over the Midianites, but God used him to do exactly that. David was young, inexperienced. How could he possibly win a victory over Goliath and the Philistines? But God used him to do that as well. We see that in Isaiah too, who lacked the kind of holiness that he felt he needed to rescue Judah from the Assyrians and to tell them about the coming Messiah, but God used him. Even in his limitations, God used him. We know about Mary. We know about Peter. We know about Paul and all that they lacked. And again we hear the phrase, it's just not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough to do, Lord, what You've asked me to do. But we forget about this story about feeding the 5,000. Where God can enable us to do, and God will enable us to do through His power, not our own, anything that He's asked us to do. But you know, in a sense, we are right about one thing. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough on our own. Not wise enough to save our marriage. We're not wise enough our own to solve those financial problems that we're faced with, or that addiction that we have to overcome, or those health problems that are before us. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. He can give us the strength that we need to overcome anything that we're faced with. He reminds us to depend on Him to make PowerPoint work. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Now turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in results, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." It's when I am weak, when I recognize my own insufficiencies, that I rely then on God and I get the strength that only He can provide. Imagine for just a moment that that Jesus were here in the flesh. And he walks into you and he said, "All right, I want you to tell me something about this town in which you live. Tell me something about Lompoc." And you look at him and say, "Oh Lord, you don't know what's going on here. Boy, we got a homeless problem. We're $4 million upside down in our budget. And would you believe they want to put a methadone treatment plant up in the village? And we got pot places opening up all over the place. And on top of all that, you cannot get out of the Habit parking lot at 5 o'clock. Lompoc's a mess." And Jesus looks at us and he says, "You know what I see when I see Lompoc? I see lost souls. That's what you need to see. Never mind everything else. If you start focusing your life, if you start focusing your spiritual attention on taking the good news to the lost of Lompoc, everything else will fall into place. And I will give you what you need. I will give you the bread to feed them. But when you do, remember the power is not in you. The power is in the Word. The power is in me, using you to reach what's most important to me and to you, and that's the lost souls in this town." We get so lost in all the other things. We forget how many lows we have. We forget what we have to offer God to do the things that He's asked to do to His glory. Christ's power is made perfect in our weakness. Watch Jesus work through you. He'll do it. And He will show you how He does it. So that the next time that we need to call on His strength, His power to get something accomplished, we'll say, "Oh, I remember He was there when I did this. He'll be there when I do that." It's only when I depend on Him that I can see Him working through me. God will never use that which we're not willing to give Him. God will never use anything that we're not willing to give Him to His glory. The only explanation for what happened that day is that Jesus worked a miracle. He worked a miracle. And it's the same kind of miracle He can work through us. Feed the lost souls of Lompoc. If we just bring Him what loaves we have, He'll do the rest. That's His promise to each and every one of us. You know, did Jesus really need the disciples' help to feed those men? 5,000 men plus whoever else was there. He didn't need them. He could have certainly done it himself. But you see, he did it to use them, to show them what they can do with his help. That's what the 12 baskets of leftovers were about. One basket for each was a reminder to show them what he could do through them. And when we give him our loaves, he will use them in a way far greater than we could ever imagine. And he'll do it to his glory. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." It's there. It's interesting when you think about it. I think if I asked you to raise your hand to find out how many people had a smartphone, most of you do. Now, you may not be smart in using it, but the phone itself is very smart. And one of the things that we have on our phone, we have apps. Apps that allow us to push that app and will take us anywhere we want to go. If I wanted to know right now football scores, all I got to do is push ESPN, NFL, and I'm there. If I want to do my banking, no matter what I want to do, there's an app for that. It's estimated that there are about 2.5 million apps out there for us to use to take us anywhere we want to go. You know how many apps God has? One. And that's you. God has no other plan. The only way that he will reach within his plan of salvation those who are lost is through his application, through his app, and that's you. Through each one of his children telling one other person, and on it goes. So I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what kind of app am I? Have you ever had an app that you pushed, it just wouldn't work? The app wouldn't work. I'm pushing it and it's not getting to me where I want to go. What do you want to do with the phone? You want to throw it up against the wall? Or you want to discount that app? You don't give it any stars. This app doesn't work. When he looks at us, when he looks at you as an app, what is God thinking? It's not working. I'm pushing it. I'm getting everything it needs to work. It's just not working. And what happens to those apps that don't work? We do this. We discard them. There's a lesson in that for each one of us. We need to be actively pursuing that which God has given us to do. And not just Sundays. All the time. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed. We are God's people. We are his chosen nation. We are his ambassadors. We are his apps. We want to help you be better at that. We want to think about that. We want to pray about that. We want to focus on that. So if you're here this morning, we can help you do that in your life. That's what we want to do. You know, God has blessed us in so, so, so many ways. First and foremost with Jesus. But he's blessed us with each other too. And you know, in this lifetime, in this particular location, being in Lompoc, being with the base and the Air Force, we get to meet a lot of people. We learn to love a lot of people. The downside of that is we have to say goodbye to a lot of people. And it's hard. It's hard. But one thing I found in our website and on our Facebook page, even though there are many that used to be in the Air Force, used to worship here with us, they still stay in contact with us. We still have a family much larger than what's inside this room. People that love us, that people I know pray for us as well. If we can help you in your life. Prayer is the greatest thing we can do. We want to help you in that way. And if you've not yet become a child of God, the good news is you have right now to do it. No guarantee about tomorrow. Because God tells us today is the day of salvation. This is it. If we can help in any way, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.